Susie from InHisJews Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. With these podcasts, Father Vazquez provides a very distinct and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality. We're a podcast that looks at the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. But we polish up that lens, well, in a new manner. We call that Armedoxy. So we invite you to take a look with us. Take a step with us right now. This podcast is being brought to you by the cool folks over at epostle.net and is part of the expanding vision of the InHisJews Ministries. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Kind of a smooth entrance, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like we say, like, if this is your first time with us, you're crawling with us. I know we've got some people that are running with us, but today kind of felt like a jog, didn't it? That was a nice entrance. I like that. Hey, welcome everybody. We're so glad to have you. This first podcast of the new spring. Did you see that giant moon? What did they call that? A super moon? Yes, we hit the equinox. Oh, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. It was like, you know, it was as big as Frank Bigelow's head. I think that's who the character was in Moonstruck, if I remember right. Anyway, it was a beautiful full moon last Saturday night, and we ushered in the spring season. It's been kind of weird over here in Los Angeles. We've had some springy days. Well, I mean, nice days, not too hot, sunny. And we've also had some major storms that have kind of like plowed through here. And I know the rest of the country and the rest of the universe is having some difficulties too, going through so much. Of course, the biggest storm that hit us was what happened in Libya. I mean, we sent in troops, and there's a bunch of coalition partners sending in troops. We're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. I mean, you know, is anybody listening? Is anybody picking up any of the messages and the lessons we're learning in the past? Just seems like we just keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. It was Jesus who said, "He who lives by the sword will die by the sword." Now, that's not a threat, you know. People sometimes think that that's a threat. Like Jesus says, okay, if you pick up the sword, then I'm going to kill you with this. No, no. It's an axiom. An axiom is a truth. If you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So there's got to be better models, right? There's got to be better models for bringing around peace than picking up swords, than bombing people. I mean, it just doesn't even make sense. We're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. We're going to be talking about that whole idea of how to bring about peace, what we're doing here on The Next Step, and how important spirituality is in our lives. Along with that, I want to share with you some of the comments that we got. A lot of people commenting about Maida. Yes, she is a delightful lady, as much in person as you felt through the podcast. Very delightful lady, and we're happy to say that we are in contact, and very shortly, I hope, and with your prayers, we're going to see a podcast coming from her, and we're looking forward to the day when we could unveil that here on epostle.net. Very exciting times for that. And thank you for all of your comments, and we're so glad that she was able to inspire. Well, we know that she inspired. We're so glad that we were able to be the vehicle with which she came across and entered your lives with her story and her enthusiasm for God and the work that God is doing through her. Just a delightful lady. Also, we are in the Lenten season right now. I got to tell you, so many people are really taking advantage of the Lenten journey. It is uponapostle.net. Susie has painstakingly corrected so many of the URLs that our server got messed up. Yes, those archive people, the United States government. I don't want to blame them. I want to be thankful to them for all they have done. They are carrying our podcast, but we're just really excited that so many people are availing themselves to the Lenten journey. It is there on apostle.net/Lent, I believe. And you can also find 40 different messages. You can find 40 different recipes. And also on top of that, we've got now Holy Week up there. So the messages just keep going through all the way to Easter. So please, please join us there. And there is a unique message for every day of Lent. And if you haven't been following it, it's not too late. We are in day number 15 or 16 right now. So, I mean, it's just basically 5 minutes, you know, so 15 times that, what are we looking at? At the most, you're looking at about an hour, but probably about 45 minutes to an hour to sit there and listen to all of the messages. Wow, that is like a crash course in Armadoxy, isn't it? We're going to be talking a little bit about Lenten season because we are in it, and we want to share some thoughts about that as well today. But also, we're going to be looking at the idea of fear, what's coming out of Japan. We hit on this a little bit last week. I'm going to continue on that because I just see that so much fear is coming out of Japan, and that is really the ultimate disaster after an earthquake. Yes, you have your tsunami. We have the fear of radiation right now. We know that it's creeping into the water and everything, but the fear is the biggest one. So hang in. We're going to be talking about that fear factor as well. But for right now, I want to talk about Darfur. You know, right after we finished our podcast last Thursday, we were quickly back on the computers because, you know, we have a team. The IAC team was going out to Darfur. They were going to the refugee camps, and they were going to take this message from the In His Shoes Ministries to the people in those refugee camps. And it's so easy. I mean, when you think about why we do this, it is the In His Shoes message, isn't it? Walking in the shoes of others. Well, before you can love anybody, you need to be able to respect that person, to understand that pain. What we say in Armenian, tsavadanem, we need to understand and really pick up that person's pain. Put yourselves in the shoes of someone else. And so we had decided that our good friend Gabriel Starring from IAC, from Stop Genocide Now, along with a small IAC team, were going out to the Chad Desert, and of course these are the people we're going to be supporting through our fast. We said, let's take a message there. If you have not had a chance to see that message, right now drop everything else. You can even put me on hold. Now this is one of those rare times where I'll tell you to put me on hold. Put me on hold and get out there to inissues.org and check out that video. It is called Greetings of Hope. And the way it evolved, it came out right after last week's podcast, because last Friday we needed to get this out. And our good friend Gregory Baylarian, who was producing this video, he found a good friend of his, Ari Mack. And Ari Mack, we've worked with him in the past. We've done a drum circle video. It's on our YouTube channel. You can see that. But what a gem of a person. What a gem of a person. He dropped everything to get this done. He pushed all of his appointments on Friday to Sunday, and he got together and he put together this incredible video, a message, a greeting of hope. If you haven't seen it, please, please watch it. And the beauty of this was that Ari, his background, of course, from the Jewish tradition, he shared with me that, you know, he feels the same thing that we talk about so many times, that basically you can't get consumed with the past if you're not willing to look at the future, at what's going on right now. And we need to take that negative energy from our past, that genocide, and be able to apply it to what's going on right now, getting out to Darfur. And this was really a labor of love, this beautiful video that he's produced called Greetings of Hope. Because I know that those people in those refugee camps, Gabriel's going to get there and he's going to project this. It will resonate over there in their souls, in their spirits. And the only thing I could do as I was watching this, I was in tears. I got to tell you, it brought me to tears because I thought of my own grandparents sitting in refugee camps after the Armenian genocide. And how beautiful it would have been if they had just had a little bit of hope. If somebody could told them, could tell them that this will pass, this too shall pass. You know, you will get through this. And the power of love is greater than all of the power of evil out there. That to me was the greatest message that we needed to send out. And it did get sent out. So Gabriel took the message. Now there's a message produced by In His Shoes with this incredible team, magicians, you know, because they're all using love as the foundation by which they work. And I got to tell you, the people in this video are so genuine. It's you, all of you who came to our Darfur rally a couple weeks ago. You know, the one at Griffith Park. We got together and we put together this incredible video. So it's genuine people talking a genuine message. It is Armenians. Now, remember what I told you a few weeks ago. We have a unique mission. Because we've been through such a past, because we've had genocide in the past, we have a unique mission. And this video shows that. There's our mission, to bring hope, to bring love, and it comes across so profoundly. And so there it is. This message got delivered, and right now, as I'm recording this right now, we got the latest news from Gabriel. He writes from the refugee camps, and I know that he's going to be showing this video probably in the next couple days. He might be showing it right now. And I'm saying this because I want you to follow what he's doing. Go to Stop Genocide Now. Follow the IAC number 10. This is the 10th time that they're out there in the desert. But I want to share with you today's installment. Actually, it's what happened yesterday. It's dated March 23rd. This is Gabriel writing from the deserts. He says, not many people could be seen walking around the camp. The temperature was above 100 degrees, and it does not make sense to be out being pounded by the sun, so it is so much brighter than where I live, sunny Southern California. It was good to be back at Camp Jabal, where we have so many friends. We talked education and politics with Abdulaziz and Suleiman. Had a meeting with camp leaders from all the different blocks, visited the secondary school, and spoke with the students as we distributed some of the Kindles. And we worked on the computers and system that make up the ComKit. Ali, Kung Fu Ali, found us at the end of our visit to the camp, and he was so happy and polite as usual. Ali is one of those kids that it just feels good to have around you. He has a good vibe, even in crushing heat. Sometime after 3 p.m., activity and color exploded around the water station. Women, girls, and some boys came with their containers to collect water. Suleiman repeated what we had heard at the governor's place. Water starts to become a big issue these months. They have to dig deeper and deeper to find it. And the local population and refugee population must make do with whatever is available until the rainy season sometime in the summer. The leaders and the teachers talked about the need for the preschools. Our friends told us that Gration is bad for Darfur. And Gration is the one that Obama had, this is my side note, had appointed over there, okay? And should not be the ambassador to Kenya. Now they're trying to block his appointment to Kenya. Many told us that the sister schools program is making a positive impact in the camp. Ali told us with his huge Ali smile that he is in the 7th grade, then goes to the 8th, and then to secondary school. It was good, albeit hot day in Jabal, and I'm happy to be going back tomorrow. Many more friends to see and lots to do and talk about. Now, this is Gabriel signing out, as usual, with a peace comment. This is Gabriel, our good friend from Stop Genocide Now. I want you to go to that website, Stop Genocide Now. Check out the IAC comments. Every day he's posting over there. And you're going to see how things evolve. It's very important that you follow it and you keep them in prayer. Because in those prayers, we realize that we too need to be called to action. The reason why I read this particular blog post was he refers to the Kindles that he's taken there. Now, this year we're going to be having a fast for Darfur, and I'm calling on everybody to collect money, because the money that we collect, you know, we've done incredible things in the past through our famines. We've brought supplies, food to people in refugee camps. This year I want to really focus on education, because equally as important as filling up those bellies, it's filling up those minds, so that we can have educated kids there who will stop this nonsense of genocide, who will stop the tragedies with some very colorful means, not just by picking up the gun, but by picking up the ultimate weapon, that knowledge coupled with love, with that desire to live, with that hope for tomorrow. You can imagine the kind of things that we can do. So I'm counting on all of you to keep them in your prayers. Keep Gabriel, his IAC team. Follow us on our website. Follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, wherever it may be, because we keep retweeting. We keep bringing out this message of what's going on out there in Darfur. And this is an important one, because this is genocide happening right now. And I hate to beat the point, but it doesn't matter about commemorating in the past if you're not doing something about what's going on today. With that, how about if we take a break right now and hear the song of the day? I do believe we get requests for this song. Yeah, I know. We get requests for the song of the day. And I appreciate all of them. I can't play all of them. You know, some of them just kind of don't fit in with what we do over here. But today I thought we'd listen to this one. This is a Gomidas song. It is called Karuna. It is spring. Yes, right after the equinox. Of course, we are living in the first days of spring 2011. So why not celebrate? This is originally from Gomidas Vartabed, and it is of course an interpretation done by Anahit Nersisyan. This is off of her album of 10 works by Armenian composers. Here is Karuna. Pretty powerful, isn't that? Oh, she plays that so well. Anid Nersesyan, that is Gomida Santriasyan, that is, it is a song called Garuna, and it is spring. Didn't we just go through this like a few weeks ago when we talked about the dogs of midwinter and the groundhogs and Diarantarach? See, the predictions were right. Here it is. We are in spring. And of course, with springtime, can you believe today is March 24th, exactly 1 month to the day when we will be celebrating that ultimate victory of springtime, right? That is the victory of Easter. And of course, everybody's kind of wound up about it. And rightly so. You know, just check it out. Just check it out. Last year on Next Step, what were we talking about? About how Easter and April 24th are coming together. It is our opportunity. We were ahead of the game taking those next steps last year. Well, now people are scrambling. What are we going to do? Hey, listen, there is only one message on Easter, right? And that is the ultimate victory of life over death. The ultimate victory of good over evil. And that's the same message we've been talking about. And that is the core of Armadoxy. Now you see, we've been talking about this. Now I've got to share this with you because this past week we saw some stuff coming up over the internet. In particular, very classless piece of writing against the Catholicos, and it's classless in the sense that it wasn't signed by anybody, and secondly, it made some personal attacks, which, you know, everybody has the right to write whatever you want, but when you take personal attacks, it kind of like lessens the ability of that piece to really do some major good in the sense of reform, reformation. Yes! What it's about. Yes, we want a revolution, of course.
You say you want a revolution.
Of course we want this revolution. We're talking about a revolution. Revolving around, turning it around. Oh, thank you, Ken. I love that. Thank you for throwing that in. It kind of got my blood pumping right now. And by the way, Ken, you look great in the video. Oh, that Greetings of Hope video with you there and without your hat. Yes, I know. I know. Thank you for taking it off. But you look great. Anyway, we're talking about revolution, aren't we? When we're talking about reforming, when we're talking about changing, you're talking about revolving it, a revolution. I mean, you listen to the last few podcasts. We've been talking about this idea of we refuse to de-evolve. Well, what is that? The opposite of de-evolving, it's evolution. And to get there, you need this revolution. And I'm saying this because the last week, especially this past week, when we've been looking at what's been going on in Darfur, when I've been looking at what's been coming out of the church, and this absence of a message for Darfur, the absence of a message for what's going on in Libya, the absence of a voice for social justice, you've got to say that this is not the church that Jesus Christ wanted. And we talk about in so many beautiful terms of the Armenian church being this birthplace of my soul, as Vahan Tekeyan says, but hey, your birthplace has changed. It has moved. It is reformed. It is no longer the old birthplace. It is no longer a village sitting out there. It is a village. It is the modern village, the modern town that is involved in globalism. It's in a globalized society. And so therefore your birthplace is changed. And yes, the Armenian church is the birthplace of my soul. That soul is in a new environment. It's got to be talking. It's got to be looking at what's going on in the world. Definitely today, there is a need for Christ's body to be speaking about what's going on in the world. Specifically, we're talking about Darfur. There's a genocide going out there. I mean, we're not talking about something simple. We're talking about genocide, mass execution. And Christ's body is silent about it. The world we expect, the world you expect it to be silent. I mean, what happened during the Armenian genocide? The world looked elsewhere. You know, we became the three monkeys, hiding our eyes, covering our ears. And forbid that we should say something about it. We close our mouth. But what about the Christ Church? Where would Jesus be today? Would he not be out there? Would he not be sitting out there and working with the people for peace? Obviously, that's where Christ's body needs to be. But what upsets me the most is that we're not giving that a chance. And we're not playing that card out. We're falling into the game of politics. Hey, listen, politicians will be politicians. I mean, it hurts me to know that, you know, last week, right after we got the air off the air, we heard about the airstrikes on Libya. I mean, is that the only way that we can solve problems today? Well, obviously it is, because we're not looking at other solutions. Have we exhausted all the other possibilities? I mean, just last year when President Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize, what did he say? He says, there are certain times where we cannot find means to bring about peace. So we have to resort to weapons, to violence. I mean, is that really the only thing that we can resort to? What happened to dreamers? What happened to the ultimate dream of dreaming of a possibility for peace? Well, you know where it is? It's with you and me. It's with the spiritual world. You see, this week in the Armenian church is this called the Steward, the Sunday of the Steward. And this is a story that comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke. And in it, it is a very unusual story because Jesus picks out this guy who is commended for being shrewd, for being a guy that has fooled people, that has wheeled and dealed, schmoozed people. He uses the power of schmoozing, hunkamunking people. And he's out there. And at the end of the day, this is the guy that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Prince of Peace, has selected to be the example. Well, why? Because Jesus is making a very important point. And I want to invite you to read the story. I will not do justice to it. Basically, this guy goes and cheats and steals, and at the end of the day, he is commended. Read the story. It's in Luke chapter 16. But I'm using it only superficially right now to make the point that Jesus does acknowledge the real world here. A lot of times people think of Christianity, think of spirituality as pie in the sky, as something unattainable that is only a reality in dreams. No, it happens right now. In fact, remember, Jesus Christ ushered in the kingdom of heaven. It was right now. The kingdom of heaven is right now. It's within you and without you. It's all around you. It is all consuming. It is that kingdom that is established from the beginning of time. And so because it's in time, it's in reality, it's happening right now. And this is one of the biggest disservices we do when we relegate issues of peace to politicians, because they don't have that spiritual dimension. They're looking at things on one flat line. And what is a flat line? It's death, right? You need that line that is pumping. That's life. And so the politicians or people that are grounded only in this world can't see that spirit, cannot dream. That's why the biggest disservice came when Obama said something like, well, we can't dream anymore. I mean, for shame. For shame that you can't dream anymore. The things that we think about, peace in this world, yes, they are in the dream world. It's not happening right now. But it requires people to dream, to look at solutions that go outside of the box. Hey, the easiest thing is to pick up a weapon and to kill somebody, right? It's over. But what have you put over? That one life? That one little squabble? Meanwhile, the war is lost because the war is God's war. The war for love, the war for peace, for harmony. We're all in this boat together. I mean, didn't you feel it last week when you saw those pictures coming out of Japan? What did you see over there? Japanese, or did you see human life? You saw the destruction of life. When you look at the pictures of Darfur and you see those little children out in the desert, when you read the stories that Gabriel's transmitting to us, what do you see? Darfuris? Or do you see life? The Christian, one that is engaged in this faith that has been given to us by Jesus Christ, has to see beyond color. Beyond definition of characteristics, but to see the soul, to see people hurting, and realizing that we can be those agents of change. The story of the dishonest steward brings home this point very loud and clear, that we are living in a real world. We need to use the tools of this world, but you can't lose sight of the goal. And the goal is ultimately to have that peace and harmony. That's the goal. When we talk about a world filled with love, when Jesus says, "By this they will know that you are my children, that you love one another as I have loved you," it means sacrifice. It means giving of yourself. It means Christianity is defined by that love, that we extend ourselves to one another. And that extension is not defined by politics. It is not defined by the ways of this world, but by a higher order. It is defined by the Creator himself, who gives us this life and says, enjoy it. Enjoy it. And the only way to enjoy it is to find that harmony within you and without you. The kingdom is right now. So I challenge you today, during this Lenten season, I hope you've been following the Lenten journey. It is on epostle.net. Because each day I go through each of these different emotions, and I hope you've been following. But the challenge today as next steppers to take this next step in our journey in life is really to look at the possibilities that are out there. Look at ways that we can bring about peace. It is terrible what's happening in Libya. It's terrible what's happening in the Middle East. But you know, it's right next door to you as well. It's happening in your neighborhoods. You know the difficulties that are happening inside of your families. And what is the only choice that we have? Not what the world is teaching us. You can't solve those problems by beating somebody up. You cannot solve those problems by killing other people. You cannot bring peace by means of war. You need to be able to approach those difficulties in the true manner that Christ taught us, by loving, by caring, by extending yourself to one another. Ani always seems to bail me out at just the right time. I need a little break right now. We're going to be back with the last portion of our show in a few minutes. Right now, here is Ani's Bubbles.
Today's spiritual bubble is a Lenten reflection. Give up complaining and focus on gratitude. Give up pessimism and become an optimist. Give up harsh judgments and think kindly thoughts. Give up worry and trust divine providence. Give up discouragement, be full of hope. Give up bitterness and turn to forgiveness. Give up hatred, return good for evil. Give up negativism, be positive. Give up anger, and try to be more patient. Give up pettiness, become mature. Give up gloom, enjoy the beauty that is all around you. Give up jealousy, and pray for trust. Give up gossiping, control your tongue. Give up sin and turn to virtue. And give up giving up. Just hang in there. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
How did you know I needed that? Oh, thank you, Ani. I guess you figured we all needed that right now. We are right now, we're getting close to the halfway point of Lent. 20 days, I think next Wednesday will be the 20th day. Halfway through Lent, and what a nice message that is. What to give up for Lent. It's interesting. Every year this happens, but this year it seemed like it was more and more. People asking me, well, what about this and what, should we give it up? You know, give up whatever you want. I mean, don't change what the church says. The church says no animal products. That's what it is. No matter what I say, people will come up, well, how about fish on Fridays? Fine, eat fish on Fridays. You know, it's not what the rule is. The rule is there for you. It's not a God-given rule. It is not by any means. So, this was funny, too. The other day, somebody came and said they had an argument with their Protestant friends who said that fasting is not in the Bible. that 40 days of Lent is not in the Bible. You know, it isn't in the Bible, you know. You got to go beyond that, okay? Beyond the Bible is Christ. Beyond that is the apostolic church. It is the traditions that we uphold from the time of the apostles, okay? So yeah, you know, don't worry about those things. The real rule is no animal products. That's the rule, okay? Now, you want to give up chocolates, you want to give up soda, you want to give up pasta, whatever it is, it's your business. We're not going to change the rule. But what's the idea of Lent? What's underneath it all? It's giving up the real stuff that makes a difference in our life. By giving up that food, by giving up that oral fixation that you have, what happens? All of a sudden you are reminded, because it is so powerful, that food is so powerful, that oral gratification is so powerful, that you are reminded at those times when you're hungry that, hey, there is a purpose to this Lent. I need to give up those things that Ani said so beautifully. Discouragement, give up gossip, give up hatred, give up that idle conversation. So many things to really give up. What we call the Harimyan diet over here. You know, give up, don't eat meat, but don't eat each other. You know, don't get upset with one another. And there's a big truth in that. Ani, thank you. As always, your bubbles get our mind to bubble, to go beyond this life and really think about some of the important things. And hey, if you've been appreciating what we do over here, I want to just tune in to Susie for a few minutes while she tells you how you can be supportive of this ministry.
Hi, this is Susie from Mini Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you for the handoff. Yeah. Thank you, Susie, for that nice reminder. And it is an important reminder because, you know, this past few weeks, we are hitting like record levels of downloads, people interested. You cannot believe the volume of email alone that we've been getting lately. And I appreciate everybody who's been writing and want to just thank you and tell you that everything gets read. I wish there was just time and really, you got to really believe this. I'm not giving you a line. We don't have the resources. Right now, we just hired lovely Lilo. She is working at the Apostle Studio and at the Youth Ministry Center, diligently documenting so much of the work that we're doing over here by transcribing many of the Next Step podcasts, as well as sermons, as well as information, because it's important that we codify, that we get some kind of a system to what Armadoxy, what we're doing over here, because, you know, those written words are also equally as important as these messages that we spurt out. Of course, the way of the world and, of course, the way technology is going, you need video, you need audio, but equally as important on par with that is getting this message out in a written format. So many different things that we need to do and we need to address. If you believe in what's going on over here, we need you to plug in with your donations as well. It's very important. It gets us the purchasing power to get the equipment, to get the web space, and ultimately to hire the people so we can get back to all the work that we're doing over here. I just want to thank you, all of you who do listen, who do share your comments. Most importantly, I want to thank you for your prayers. It is those prayers that I know we feel. You got to believe that there are sometimes, what did Ani say? The last thing is give up giving up. There's many times in this kind of work, as well as in all of the ministry, that it's just easier to give up. You know, it's like that last temptation of Christ. Do you remember that Nicholas Kazantzakis book many years ago? It's probably older than I am. It's probably in the early 50s that came out. And later in the 80s, they adapted it to a movie. Do you remember that last temptation? It's like, give up. Give up. You're on the cross. Go ahead. Give up. And that was a very powerful book. Of course, challenging the entire Christology that the church had, but also giving us something very real and tangible to contemplate. What if Jesus had given up? What if he had said, okay, this is too much? You can't give up. Give it. And that is the ultimate thing that Ani really steered us today in today's bubbles. You got to give up giving up. Very easy to do. But the bigger challenges are there. And if you really believe in it, you need to be able to be supportive of it. Keep dreaming, keep supporting, and keep praying. Like I said, it's those prayers that I know, I feel many times that temptation to give up. I know it's those prayers that keep me going. You know, in the past several weeks, we've been filling our lives, like it or not, sometimes inadvertently, without us wanting it, but our lives have been filled with images, with stories coming out of that tragedy in Japan. And you've got an earthquake that yielded a triple disaster. You've got the earthquake itself. You got the tsunami that followed, just pictures, videos that are unbelievable. Towns being wiped out in a matter of seconds by the force of nature. And then now you've got the threat of the triple one, the third one, which is the nuclear radiation. And of course, this brings about anxiety, brings about fear. It is that unknown out there. And I've been thinking about this since last week when I threw this out as something to contemplate. Really, what's coming out of Japan is this quadruple threat. And the fourth one, of course, is fear. That's what's coming out of there. And that's very real, because that fear is what hampers us from moving forward. It's that fear that stands as a hurdle in our life path, right? I mean, we're walking and we've got these hurdles that you've got to get over. And the fear is the biggest hurdle. It's a difficult one, because if you can't get over that, you can't move forward. And so many people get caught up with this. And in fact, this week, it was interesting because on NPR, they had a show. This, let's see, it's dated March 22nd. We'll put this up on our show notes for sure. You may want to listen to this. But it is part of the morning edition of NPR. It says, fear dominates discussions on nuclear power. And they were interviewing Dr. Robert DuPont, a psychiatrist who specializes in the study and treatment of fear. Hey, folks, do you need a psychologist? Do you need a specialist to tell you what has been given to you from the beginning of time? What does Jesus say over and over? Fear not, only believe. Because remember, the opposite of belief is not disbelief. The opposite of belief is that fear. He says it. Jesus says it very clearly. Fear not, only believe. Okay? The opposite of belief is not doubt. It is fear. So this prominent psychiatrist makes some very interesting points here that I wanted to share with you. And like I said, we'll put the show notes, we'll put this link on our show notes so you could read the entire thing and listen to the podcast. But he says, you've got people in California taking potassium iodide to prevent cancers from radiation from this plant. What is that? I think that the answer is in biology. Fear dominates our attention. Whatever the tsunami was, whatever the earthquake was, that's over. Sure, it could happen again, but the nuclear reactor, who knows? So he's making a point here that fear is really based on the unknown, right? Obviously, you don't know something that strikes fear. I mean, any one of us that has walked into a dark room and we don't know what's the content of that room, we know that we have higher anxiety levels. You know that there's a certain fear until we can turn on the light and know the unknown is gone at that point, right? And so also our fear goes away. But this Robert DuPont is making this point that it is that unknown over there. And rightly so. I mean, you've been hearing advertising for potassium iodide, people taking... I mean, I think it could mess you up worse than the radiation can. But we've got this unknown idea that the radiation is going to come here. And that unknown is the reality. And unfortunately, some people capitalize on it, right? There are bad people who are making some quick money based on your fear. I mean, think about most of marketing is based on fear, right? What do they do? I mean, even something as crude as toilet paper. It's the softer toilet paper. It's got pillows in it. Think about it for a moment.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
What is the fear? You could do the visualization on that, okay? I mean, think about some of the other fears. The entire food industry. Like, what goes into you? What are they doing? I mean, they capitalize on this. I mean, they did an incredible job in getting people to stop smoking by striking them with fear, right? I mean, those warning on cigarette packs. I haven't seen this, but I understand that in South America, you've got not only the warnings, but you've got pictures, people on lung machines, people with respirators, and saying, look, this is what's going to happen. Well, that fear is very powerful. It changes you. It makes you into a different person. And people can capitalize. Sometimes for good, which we want to believe that, you know, the anti-smoking campaign is for the good. And sometimes for the bad. In selling you these things based on these fears that you have. Have you heard any of these drug commercials? You don't even know what the commercial's for. It says, try this or that drug. Xanacor, what is it? Well, something. They tell you this is a great pill. You don't know what it's for, but it's that fear in you that, oh, maybe I need this. And then at the end, they list off, much like we have at the disclaimer for our podcast, they tell you an assortment of things that this drug can cause. That doesn't put fear in people. I mean, could cause heart arrhythmia, heart attack, stroke, paralysis, nerve damage. But they say it so fast and so calmly that it doesn't enter into your fear factor. The fear factor is caused by the unknown. I don't know what I got. I may need this pill. See how it works? And over, and this is a small little meditation that I want to leave you with today. Over and over, Jesus tells us, fear not. I am with you. Whether it is the young girl that they bring to him for healing, and he says, fear not, your child is not dead. She is merely sleeping. Do not fear. Don't worry about that. Whether it's the paralyzed man that is brought to Jesus, and he says, fear not. Your sins are forgiven. There's something greater here than that physical being that you have over there. Whether it's the message that he says to each and every one of us, and he says, courage, the victory is mine. Fear not, the victory is mine. I have overcome this world. I am with you to the end of the ages. You have no reason to fear. And this is one little area of life that we can control in a very real setting. And I think that this tragedy coming out of Japan and the way it's hitting most of the world, not the tsunami waves, not the aftershocks, not the radiation, but the fear that is hitting the rest of the world is a cause for each and every one of us to stop and to take an inventory of the fears in our lives that are preventing us from moving forward, from doing the things that we want to do, actualizing and becoming the people that God wants us to be, doing the things that are important in our lives. It is a hurdle in our path to salvation. Knock it over. Jump over it. Get over it. You do have that power. You can do that. It means some jumping. It means some exercise. It means some pushing yourself to the limits. But I know you can do it. And that's what Lent is about, right? That's what we're doing during this Lenten season. Go for it. Hey, we've got a wonderful month coming up between now and Easter. I want to invite you to join us at all the different projects that we have at inhisshoes.org as well as epostle.net. You'll find today's podcast as well as every podcast we've done from the beginning of time. You'll find the Lenten journey. You'll find notes for the Easter season and recipes for your palate so that you can enjoy some good food during this Lenten season as you're turning away from so much of the luxuries of life. Hey, I want to invite you to join us at In His Shoes also to see the wonderful video that's up there. Make sure you do check it out. And please tell your friends. The biggest thing that you can do for us is pass along this podcast. Tell your friends about this gem that you found. You know, for me, armadoxy is what Christ talks about when the merchant who finds the pearl. You need to do the research. Find out what Jesus says about the merchant who finds the pearl. That's armadoxy. I found it, and I want to believe I'm doing that. Hey, listen, I want to tell you to go to our website also to check out the videos and especially to follow Gabriel and his team out there, the IACT 10 team that's out there in the refugee camps in Chad. We're going to be talking a lot more about that, sending out some email. If you haven't signed up, get on our email list, all kinds of stuff. Follow us on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. Definitely should follow us on Twitter as well. Hey, for the wonderful people who made today's podcast a possibility, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, without his hat today, for Ani and her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step. Listen carefully.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.